Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 88 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
And there's more indictments to follow by myself and one of the other officers that was at the scene.
Two men have been indicted after a drug arrest in Pikeville.
The Kentucky State Police are investigating a murder in Carter County.
The murder trial for suspects charged in connection with the death of a Lexington teenager began today.
A state agency is hoping to help hundreds of laid-off workers in central Kentucky.
The president and the former vice president are campaigning in Kentucky this week.
In sports, Round soccer and volleyball teams kick off district tournament action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And the weather tonight is partly cloudy skies with a low of 68 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Police are investigating the murder of an 81-year-old man in Carter County. Kentucky State Police released a statement saying their Ashland Post received a call near 2 a.m. on Sunday following a shooting inside a Rocky Lane residence. The initial investigation alleges 81-year-old Bradley Duncan of Olive Hill was fatally shot by his grandson-in-law, 28-year-old Matthew Kelly, following a verbal altercation. Police have arrested Kelly on charges of murder and lodged him in the Carter County Detention Center. That investigation is ongoing.
A Clark County couple charged with the murder of their 20-year-old son will have their case sent to mediation. The Winchester Sun reports Clark Circuit Judge William Klaus approved the mediation for Albert and Christy Patsy, who are charged with the murder of their son Logan. Logan, who had Down syndrome, was found dead from malnutrition, dehydration, and pneumonia. He weighed 61 pounds when his body was found. According to the arrest warrant, Logan's room was unfit to live in and was in measurably worse condition than the rest of the house. The Christies were indicted in March and are due back in court on December 13th following felony mediation.
The Pike County Grand Jury indicted two men last week who were allegedly involved in a drug-related arrest where an officer was pricked by a dirty needle. Police officers responded to a call to Pikeville Motel on September 8th about alleged drug activities. When officers entered the room, 27-year-old Jordan Kahn and Michael Kidd were found with cocaine and large amounts of cash. Officer Tony Kahn tells EKBTV he saw Jordan Kahn reaching into his waistband as police entered the room.
I didn't know if it was a knife or a gun, but it ended up being a 380 automatic. The subject was trying to get out of his waistband. So we actually, in the best case scenario, is nobody got hurt, nobody got shot, and we got the gun away from him, and we also found all the narcotics and all the dirty syringes in the room also.
The case is ongoing. Indictments from Officer Kahn and another officer who was present at the scene are pending. Both men remain lodged in the Pike County Detention Center.
The trial for the four suspects charged in the 2016 shooting death of Olympian Tyson Gay's daughter began today. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
15-year-old Trinity Gay died after being caught in a crossfire between a two-vehicle shootout in a Lexington parking lot on October 16, 2016. Shazari Taylor Sr. is charged with murder. His son, DeMarcia Taylor, along with Lamonte Williams and Devonta Middlebrooks, are charged with wanton endangerment. Jury selection began this morning and is expected to continue throughout the day on Tuesday. Fayette Circuit Court Judge Ernesto Scorzone on Friday denied a request from the defense for the jury to visit the crime scene. Scorzone says the scene could mislead the jury because they would not be visiting around the time the shooting occurred. Court officials expect witness testimonies to begin on Wednesday morning. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Four people are injured following a crash in Boyd County. WKYT reports the incident happened around 8 p.m. Sunday near the intersection of U.S. 23 and Route 1426. The Boyd County Sheriff says all lanes closed for over an hour so a helicopter could land at the scene. The names of those injured have not been released.
Deputies in Lawrence County put a wanted man behind bars following a car chase. WSAZ reports the Lawrence County's Sheriff's Office says 50-year-old Gary Cochran of Paintsville was spotted near Richardson Peach Orchard. When police located Cochran in his vehicle, he fled on Highway 2033 into Martin County. When deputies stopped Cochran, he was high on methamphetamine. Officers found meth in a loaded needle in the vehicle. Cochran is being held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center. He faces a plethora of charges, including first-degree DUI and possession of a controlled substance.
Laurel County deputies arrested a man after investigating a crash on Friday. According to WYMT, 41-year-old Brent Napier rear-ended another car on East Laurel Road. Deputies determined he was intoxicated and charged him with operating a vehicle under the influence. He's being held in the Laurel County Detention Center. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Hundreds of Central Kentucky residents are now without jobs after two manufacturing plants in Central Kentucky began layoffs. The Hitachi plant in Harrodsburg is downsizing, and the Train plant in Lexington is closing. Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Deputy Secretary Josh Benton says there's also some good news.
In Central Kentucky, there's 20,000 open jobs right now. Now, when we look back at the average wages of those, the jobs that have happened this calendar year, we're looking at an average wage of like $16, $17 an hour.
Benton says there's a high demand for manufacturing workers like technicians, assemblers, electricians, and engineers, and the Education and Workforce Development Cabinet's Rapid Response Team has been connecting laid-off workers with these opportunities.
Ashland taxpayers are upset that their recycling center is being used for free by out-of-state residents. Daily Independent reports some locals say they've seen several cars from Ohio and West Virginia in line at the center recently. They argue non-taxpayers shouldn't be able to use the service. Ashland City Commissioners expressed concern about out-of-state individuals using the service during last Thursday's commission meeting. In response, commissioners unanimously approved a motion requiring a Kentucky driver's license or a resident water bill in order to use the center.
Kentucky volunteers helping with Hurricane Florence cleanup in North Carolina have returned home. LEX18 reports 200 Kentuckians from Baptist Disaster Relief got back late on Saturday after 3 weeks of service. During their tenure, volunteers cooked almost 87,000 meals and rescued a woman trapped in her house. Feeding coordinator Karen Smith says it is rewarding to be able to travel and provide for those in need. Smith says the group is ready should they be needed following Tropical Storm Michael.
President Trump appears to be making a Make America Great Again stop in Central Kentucky. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
President Trump's campaign website shows he's scheduled to visit Richmond next week. The event is scheduled for Saturday, October 13th at Alumni Coliseum on the Eastern Kentucky University campus. There's a registration page on Trump's website for those wishing to attend the event. The stop comes after speculation that Trump would visit Kentucky's 6th congressional district in support of Representative Andy Barr. The Republican is in a tight battle with Democratic nominee, retired Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath. I'm Haley Hansen.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is coming to Kentucky to support 6th Congressional District Democratic nominee Amy McGrath. WKYT reports Biden and the retired Lieutenant Colonel are hosting a fish fry at Bath County High School in Owingsville Friday, October 12th. McGrath said in a statement that she was honored to be joined by Biden. The race is receiving national attention as Democrats seek to control the House of Representatives. Attendees must have tickets, which are limited. Doors open at noon.
And speaking of elections, tomorrow is the last day to register to vote in Kentucky for the upcoming election in November. Residents can register online at govotekentucky.com and use the current Kentucky driver's license to apply. Another way is to print and submit the voter registration application and take it into the local county clerk's office. The Rowan County Clerk's Office closes each day, including today and tomorrow, at 4:30 p.m.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party say they will still challenge Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia for his seat in November. Manchin was the only Democrat to vote yes on Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation on Saturday. In an interview on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday, McConnell said that his party has become energized.
Ironically, the behavior of first Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee and then the overreach of the protesters at the Capitol have actually energized the Republican base, particularly in the red states where we're trying to pick up seats out across America. So I want to thank the other side for the tactics that have allowed us to kind of energize and get involved our own voters.
McConnell thanked Manchin but says he still wants a Republican in his seat. Manchin has been receiving criticism on both sides for his yes vote on Kavanaugh.
Attorney General Andy Beshear offered an update on the pension lawsuit last week. He spoke at a meeting of the 5th District of Kentucky Retired Teachers Association. Beshear says he has a feeling that the Supreme Court case will be a victory.
I'm here on behalf of over 200,000 teachers, police officers, firefighters, social workers, EMS, nearly every state, city, county, and school worker whose rights have been violated and whose government has betrayed them. But I'm also here on behalf of all Kentuckians to stop an unconstitutional practice where the General Assembly intentionally excludes and hides its actions from the very public it's supposed to serve.
Beshear says that he believes Kentuckians will hear the court's decision in the near future.
Folks at Doves of the Gateway are celebrating their 25th anniversary this month with a gala fundraiser. The event will be held on Saturday, October 13th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Kelly Petronella is the executive director at Doves. She says all the proceeds will go directly to helping victims of domestic violence.
You can show up at our door. We can take it from there. We help with hygiene items, food, diapers, wipes, formula, any of those basic emergency needs. We are able to take care of that free of charge for anybody that needs our services.
Doves of the Gateway Gala will be held on October 13th starting at 6 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are available online at dovesofgateway.org.
Local young people will have a chance to fly as local youth are invited to the flight program. It makes its biannual return to Moorhead this weekend. The Experimental Aircraft Association will host a Young Eagles flight rally at the Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport. Jim Flutie is the treasurer of the EAA Chapter 1525 at that airport.
So we offer up our time and our equipment to show the kids what it's like to fly in a small airplane and, what might lie ahead for something they might want to do the rest of their life. And we've had several kids that have come out for Young Eagles, and we have gotten word back a few years later that they're going to a university where they can study aeronautics and aircraft maintenance.
Since the program launched in 1992, volunteer EAA pilots have flown more than 2 million young people across more than 90 counties. The event will be held on Saturday, October 13th, and anyone between the ages of 8 and 17 years old can take part in the day's activities.
The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland will host the first annual OYO Arts and Music Festival October 13th. Melanie Cornelison, director of the Paramount Arts Center, tells MyTown TV there will be many activities for everyone of all ages in attendance. She says the festival will be held at the Ohio Riverfront Waterfront Port from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m.
Our first year, we're partnering with Ashland in Motion, which is great, and we're doing OYO Festival. And OYO is, we did some research, and OYO is the Indian word for what they call the Ohio River. So that was, we're having it on the waterfront at the port, so it seemed like a very appropriate name for what we're doing.
General admission tickets are $25, but VIP options are available. Taking a look at the weather forecast for this week. Tonight, some clouds with a low of 68 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine along with some clouds and a high around 85. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a few passing clouds and a low of 67. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with showers or thunderstorms and a high around 80 degrees. On Wednesday night, showers and scattered thunderstorms and a low of 67. On Thursday, rain showers early with some sunshine later in the day and a high near 70 degrees. Right now, it is 88 degrees in Moorhead and Inez, 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, Maysville, and Lexington, 87 degrees in Ashland and Grayson, and 86 degrees in Mount Sterling.
On our feature segment today, a Morehead State University traditional music student recently met her musical hero. Convergent Media major Juliana Leach has the story.
Elizabeth Bowman was first introduced to the Hall of Fame musician John Hartford during her first semester at the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. Ever since, he has been gentle on her mind.
He's one of those artists where, like, you feel like you know him through their music, and I don't feel that way with a lot of artists. I love all kinds of music, but there are very specific artists that I feel like I know.
During the week-long International Bluegrass Music Association conference, traditional music students from Morehead State University had the opportunity to meet bluegrass idols from all over the world. Here, director of the KCTM, Raymond McLean, was able to introduce Bowman to John Hartford's daughter, Katie Hartford.
Raymond said that one of his favorite things about John Hartford is how he made everybody in the room feel validated. He made sure everybody felt included and like they were a part of, you know, whatever was going on, and she's like that.
Bowman can't recall a time when she didn't sing, and from the moment she had the opportunity, she picked up a little red guitar and began her journey with music. Now she can play a variety of instruments, from mandolin to bass and guitar, but she wants to add fiddle to the list in honor of John Hartford.
My primary is mandolin because it's the instrument that I connect the most with, and a fiddle is tuned exactly the same as a mandolin, you just bow. And so bowing has always been hard for me, but I've always wanted to learn how to play fiddle since I was little. When Ruth McLean told me about his mammoth collection of fiddle tunes, I was like, you know, that's just obvious.
Another important factor that she believes Hartford is an influence on is how she perceives music and performance. Bowman hopes her music can demonstrate nourishing a song to provide connection to the audience, instead of focusing on additional fills for the purpose of showing off.
When you listen to him, it's more like how the song feels, and you don't necessarily have to play something really intense or really show-offy. It's just like feeding the song and making it better, and everything he does is just watering the song so that it's like healthy and pretty and enjoyable. And I try to do that when I play guitar and mandolin.
With just a little over a year until she graduates, Bowman is glad she found the world of bluegrass music and values all of the talented artists in her field.
You know, people downplay bluegrass, but bluegrass musicians are some of the best musicians in the world because you can train your whole life to be a classical musician, but there's not a manual for bluegrass. I think it takes a lot of guts to just decide early on that you're going to be a bluegrass musician.
Bowman hopes to keep touring and making music while holding on to everything she has learned from John Hartford and other bluegrass artists. This has been Juliana Leach.
This feature was produced in cooperation with Morehead State University's Department of Convergent Media. It's 4:48 and 87 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sport right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where quality candy is their business, online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Celebrating more than 90 years in business, Ruth Hunt Candies is Kentucky proud with traditional Kentucky confections, including Woodford Reserve Bourbon Balls, Jameson's Chocolate, Blue Mondays, and an assortment of cream candies, gift baskets, and Kentucky-made gifts. Online ordering and shipping through Facebook at ruthhuntcandy.com.
It's district tournament time for the Vikings. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Rowan County boys soccer team travels to Fleming County tonight for the first round of the 61st District Tournament. The Vikings face off with Menifee at 8 p.m. Rowan coach Max Hammond says his team is ready for tonight's matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it's a district game, so, I mean, we got to be ready for postseason play. We played on the first game of the season, and I think they've improved since then. So, you know, we've got to be ready and playing our game. You know, if we cannot play our game, it'll be tough to stop us.
The winner of the first round will face off with either Fleming or Bath County on Thursday at 8 p.m. Also kicking off district play tonight in the 62nd District, 13-2-2 East Carter is traveling to take on 0-19 Greenup County in West Liberty. And in the 63rd District, 3-15-1 Ashland Blazer is on the road as they take on 7-8-1 Russell. The Round County Girls Soccer Vikings will face Menifee County in the first round of the KHSAA Regional Soccer Tournament tonight. This year's tournament will be held in Fleming County. Viking coach Alan Evans feels confident about tonight's face-off.
Yeah, we've played them, and we beat them, and they lost a lot of seniors from last year. So they're a bit of a young program and also a small school. So hopefully we'll get out of there with a shutout and be injury-free so we can move on to the championship game on Thursday.
The game begins at 6 o'clock. More first-round district girls soccer games tonight include 9-6 and 2 East Carter taking on 1-15 and 1 Greenup County and West Liberty in 62nd district action. And in the 63rd district, 9-7 and 3 Ashland Blazer is taking on 5-8 and 1 Boyd County in Russell. The Round County volleyball team starts postseason play tonight as well with Bath County. The Lady Vikings host this year's district tournament, and they are going into tonight's matchup with a 22-12 record. Coach Steve Walters says his team has defeated Bath County once already this season.
They've had a pretty tough season. They've been pretty young throughout the season, and I think they've lost a couple of players through, you know, whatever circumstances. When we played them at their place, they came out after us in the first set, but once we kind of weathered that, we were able to play pretty well.
A win in tonight's matchup guarantees Rowan a spot in the regional tournament. The district final will be played on Wednesday at 7:30. Other teams opening up district play tonight in volleyball are 16-11 Ashland Blazer as they take on the winner of tonight's 6 p.m. matchup against Holy Family and Rose Hill Christian. In the 61st district, 12-22 Fleming County is taking on 10-20 Menifee here in Moorhead. 7-22 Morgan is traveling to West Carter to take on 16-17 East Carter in 62nd district play. Also in the 62nd district, 24-10 West Carter is hosting 2-8 Elliott County. The Kentucky football Wildcats are no longer undefeated after Trayvon Williams flipped into the end zone on a 10-yard run in overtime to give Texas A&M a 22-14 victory over the 13th-ranked Cats. The Wildcats forced overtime when Darius West returned a fumble 40 yards for a touchdown, but teammate Miles Butler missed a 43-yard field goal, forcing it into overtime. Mississippi came within 7 yards of the SEC record with its 826 yards of total offense against Louisiana Monroe. It was the biggest offensive output since Oklahoma and Texas Tech amassed 854 yards each against each other in October 2016, and it's the biggest in the SEC since Paul Bear Bryant's Alabama Crimson Tide piled up 833 yards against Virginia Tech in 1973. And Tennessee safety Trayvon Flowers has a broken collarbone and will sideline him for the next few weeks, hindering the depth of the Volunteers' young secondary as they deal with the toughest portion of their schedule. Vols coach Jeremy Pruitt said today that Flowers was hurt while diving for an interception in practice during Tennessee's off week. Pruitt said Flowers has undergone surgery and that he'll be back in a few weeks. The Cincinnati Bengals are now on a 2-game winning streak after beating the Dolphins at home 27-17 yesterday. After being down 17-0 with just 4 minutes left in the third quarter, Cincinnati's Randy Bullock hit a 51-yard field goal to start a prosperous fourth quarter. Before finishing the game, the Bengals had acquired 3 touchdowns and a field goal. Defensive end Michael Johnson, who had an interception in the fourth, says a big part of the Bengals' success is how much support they have for each other.
That's how you got to be. Your teammates' accomplishments, you got to be more pumped up for their stuff than you do your own. And then we just celebrate each other like that. You know, I talk to the guys about boosting each other up, about, you know, playing for each other and just always uplifting one another. And I think, you know, that's contagious.
The Bengals start week 6 action against the Steelers on Sunday at 1 p.m. And lastly in sports, Browns wide receiver Rashard Higgins could miss some games with a sprained knee. Coach Hugh Jackson said today that an MRI taken on Higgins revealed he sprained his medial collateral ligament while blocking during Sunday's overtime win against the Ravens. Higgins, who is having a breakout season, had 3 catches for 66 yards and a 19-yard touchdown before getting hurt. the Jacksonville Jaguars are placing tight end Austin Seferian Jenkins and running back Corey Grant on the injured reserve. Coach Doug Marone says Seferian Jenkins will have core muscle surgery but could return later in the season. Grant will miss the rest of the year with a foot injury. Seferian Jenkins has 11 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown. Grant has 13 carries for 40 yards to go along with 9 receptions for 67 yards. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer is in action this week for their last two home games of the season, hosting Tennessee Tech Friday night at 6 and Jacksonville State at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Volleyball is also in action, hosting Southeast Missouri at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average rose for the first time in 3 days today, but its gains were kept in check as investors continued to fret over a sharp rise in interest rates, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 39.73 at 26,486.78. The S&P 500 was actually down 1.14 at 2884.43, and the NASDAQ Composite still under pressure, finishing with a loss of 52.5 at 7735.95. And pressuring the NASDAQ were shares of the so-called FANG stocks, with Amazon down 1.3% and Netflix down 0.6%. Apple also dipped 0.2%. And as mentioned, interest rates a big factor in market action lately. Interest rates were on a tear last week after the release of several pieces of strong economic data. The benchmark 10-year Treasury note yield rose to above 3.2% from around 3.06%, and the 10-year yield hit its highest level since 2011 on Friday. Today, U.S. Treasuries did not trade as the bond market remained closed for Columbus Day. The latest corporate earnings season kicks off this week, with major banks like Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo all scheduled to release their latest quarterly results. And Chinese stocks saw huge declines after the People's Bank of China announced measures on Sunday, actually, to cut the amount of cash that banks have to hold as reserves. And the Shanghai Composite was walloped today, finishing with a loss of about 3.7%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.15% at $74.23 a barrel. Gold was down 1.8% at $1,192 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were under pressure as the Stoxx 600 index lost 1.18%. As mentioned, the Shanghai Composite was down roughly 3.75%, and the Nikkei average was down 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Walgreens and Walmart, while the worst performers were Visa and Cisco. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Arconic and Garrett Motion, while the worst performers were Salesforce and Waters Corporation. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 50 cents at 82.38, CSX up 21 cents at 74.76, AEP up 98 cents at 72.85, AK Steel up 9 cents at 4.92, Marathon Petroleum down 65 cents at 83.86, and Community Trust Bank was up 85 cents to finish at 46.38. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
The MSU Symphony Band will perform their fall concert at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 9th. The concert will be held in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. The event is free and open to the public. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Brian Courtney, Naya Andweza, Chanisty Davis, Shaw Marie Mosley, Sean Haynes, Jack Cottle, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, K&N's Haley Hansen, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University's Department of Convergent Media student, Juliana Leach. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.